Yeah, I mean, I'm the old-fashioned BBC training in me, a theory of communication and broadcasting, and that is that it's to educate, entertain and inform. And that was always something that I believed in. It's public service broadcasting, and I believe that that is a worthwhile value to aim for. And so I include in that entertainment, because people will switch off if it's just all worthy but dull broadcasting. But I do believe that for me, it has to be something that's worth doing and that, you know, gives people something to chew on and to think about, be they old or young.
And yet a lot of people would see that that's not the direction that media is going in. There's an awful lot of commercialisation, appealing to the lowest common denominator. And a lot of people are worried about the type of things that their children are watching. So how do you personally deal with that in a day-to-day basis?
You're absolutely right. For the most part, I am noticing now, and I do watch the kind of things that they are watching. And I would have serious reservations about a lot of it, particularly that commodification of teenagers now. Now, this didn't start today or yesterday, but in 1994, the term teenager was coined in America, and it was coined by manufacturers and by marketing people who saw for the first time that young people from 14 to 18 as a group had money and would spend it, and they targeted them. And I mean, that's in the book by Teenage by John Savage, and he talks about how that was deliberately done. Now, that was in 1944. In 2007, in the Western world, that has reached the zenith. And I am concerned about the things that my children are bombarded with. And that is, for example, images of themselves, that they're never good enough, that they need to be like celebrities, they need to be thinner, they need to be more glamorous, they need to be more muscly and masculine. And if you buy this, you will become this. Or if you do this, you will be better. That they're never good enough. They are bombarded by unbridled sexuality in terms of, but as long as you do it and it feels good, that's all right. And it doesn't matter what age. I think an individualism and a selfishness, like that there's no sense of community. It's me, me, me.
Is the danger, though, maybe that you're just being a bit old-fashioned, you know, that maybe if your mother had looked at what you were watching or the type of music that you were listening to, I mean, she might equally have reacted and thought it was terrible. But, you know, in retrospect, it doesn't seem so bad.
You know, there's always a part of that, and that there's always a certain element of truth that every generation has to rebel. And, you know, in even reading this book that I'm reading, you know, of course, there always was a sense of, oh, shock horror, the young people nowadays. And that goes back to Aristotle. But that doesn't stop me critiquing what I'm seeing today either. I mean, I think that, you know, the standards today, we had one magazine, The Jackie. You opened it and there was a picture in the centrefold. It was usually the face of Mick Jagger or David Cassidy or some heartthrob. And that is not the kind of magazine. I mean, our children now have an array of magazines that they're looking at. The articles are invariably about dieting. I think the message that's going out to a lot of young people up and down the country from the television diet they're getting, that they're watching, because they only select what is their pop culture. Now, they're not going to be watching Panorama or Primetime. So what they're hearing is that they're not sexy enough, they're not pretty enough, they're not thin enough, they aren't glamorous enough, they're individualistic, they're not part of a community, and everything is a bar that's been set for them, and if they buy more, then they'll achieve that bar. Now, that pressure is huge, and it is being manifest in young people who are drinking much earlier today, because the drinks industry is targeting that younger audience. Make no mistake about it, 13 is not too young for them. They're targeting them so that drugs can help you feel better, be it alcohol or whatever. That if you buy these products, you will look better. If you slim more, if you diet, and then the latest fad. And that's manifest in the young people who are talking about their eating habits, who are, I have a friend of mine, her 9-year-old was saying, Mum, do you think I'm getting fat? And she's pinching her stomach. I mean, and I know people listening to me today are nodding their heads and saying, that is right, because that is the pressures they're under. And we have to be in there and we have to be aware of that.
And so how do you deal with that? I mean, you yourself have two children. I'm sure you must have conflicts over that and them wanting to watch things and you're trying to tell them, you know, you don't need all those magazines, you don't need to watch all those music videos.
Yeah, and you have to be careful because, I mean, teenagers, the last thing they need is somebody nagging at them all the time. On the other hand, I think you also, I as a parent have decided I'm not going to lose my nerve. So I remember watching Ozzy Osbourne with them and Sharon Osbourne, which, gosh, looking back now even seems harmless enough. But they were younger and they were fascinated by this. So I would talk to them about, what do you think about Ozzy? Not really well able to string a sentence together, is he? And they would look at me and say, you know, because he couldn't finish the sentence. And I'd say, you know, he took a lot of drugs when he was younger. you know, I would throw in things like that. What do you think? Screaming and roaring and shouting. What do you think, you know, about that in the house? You know, gosh, we do it ourselves sometimes. It doesn't sound great when you see it fed back to you, you know. Throw in the odd lines like that. And a lot of the times I sat and watched the things with them. Now, only once recently did I have a major stand-up row with my son over a TV programme that he wanted to watch. It was called Teenagers, and it was sexually very, very explicit, and the language was really dreadful. And I mean, it was just over too much for me. And I remember he said to me, "You're censoring, and why are you doing this? And this is the way life is. This is real life. Why don't you get real?" And I said, "Yeah, and I don't want it pumped into my home. I'm paying for the NTL connection, and it's just, it really disturbs me and it upsets me, and we're not having it." And I think, you know, he was very cross about it, and but I was making a statement thus far and no further. When I can, I will critique it. I watch that Sweet 16 and the birthday party stuff with them. And I know, like, in fairness to them, they know it's over the top. They know these kids are acting like spoiled brats. And, "Hey, Dad, why didn't you get me the BMW instead of the Mercedes?" I mean, that's the level we're at. "Oh, I was awesome at my party. I was driven in. I looked so beautiful. Everyone was looking at me." And I'm thinking, I'm saying, "Your kids, is that what you aspire to now? Is that as good as it gets? Is there any other vision we might have of how we might be living our lives?" Now, sometimes they will say, "Oh, Mom, there you go again." And I try not to overdo it, but I do think we have a responsibility to critique it with them. And then, you know, sometimes you get stuff back from them, but they still love to watch it. And it's very hard for them to swim against it. They're in a culture where they are pushed into being self-obsessed, selfish, individualistic, and at the end of it feeling never that they're not even good enough, and that's just not good enough for them, I think.